Thank you very much. So I'm going to talk about school-based health centers, although I really enjoyed the presentation on affordable health care. So my story is about what happened with school clinics after Katrina in New Orleans and around the whole issue of sustaining school clinics, which is a real challenge. And so I have no relationships to disclose. And I know if you're here, you probably know a little bit about school clinics, but just for the purposes of background, school clinics are like healthcare centers in a school, and they provide preventive and integrated clinical behavioral care to students, and the clinics have to be licensed. And I think, you know, we've been talking a lot recently about integrated care and basically how do you in a primary care setting address people's needs holistically. But in school clinics, we've been doing that for a long time. And so I always like to brag on the fact that we've been providing integrated care for, you know, since really the inception. That's how the model was developed. And in terms of, I say organizational models, but they have a lot of different operational models. Some are sponsored by the school district, and many are sponsored by community sponsors. So it can be medical centers, like in our case in Orleans Parish. Up until recently, all of our clinics were sponsored by Medical Center of Louisiana or Tulane Medical Center or LSU. Or more recently, and I guess in the last 5 to 10 years, more community clinics have taken on the operations or the governance of school clinics, and particularly federally qualified health centers are adopting more and more school clinics, and that's something that we've been encouraging, and I'll talk a lot about that. And then in many parts of the country and in our state, we have hospital systems that take on operating school-based clinics. And there may be other models out there, but those are the three that I'm mostly familiar with. They're also staffed differently. So we have had in Louisiana a state adolescent health program. Not all states have them, but we're kind of progressive in that regard. I know we're always last. We're often last on a lot of lists. But this is the list that we're kind of first on, or at least near the top. And so our program actually sets standards for how school clinics should operate. And they set physical facility standards, and they do staffing, and there's also a strong quality care component where they go out and actually do a review of the quality of the services. So they endorse a model that's kind of pricey. It is led by a nurse practitioner or physician assistant, the main provider. They like a model that has a registered nurse on staff, a data operator, someone to collect information for the clinic and for the state, a clinical social worker, and oftentimes a coordinator. And in some cases, that can be the physician, because nurse practitioners in our state have to operate under a physician. For the community clinics or the fairly qualified health centers, they have a much leaner model where essentially a nurse practitioner, a medical assistant, social worker, that's it. And they're able to provide some very robust services, and we'll talk a little bit about why that would look different. In the medical centers, often there is a physician medical director. In our case, in one of our clinics, the physicians actually come to the clinic through the National Health Service Corps program. So that's how they recruit them. And also they typically have an RN, a clinical social worker, and sometimes a coordinator. And so that tends to be a rather expensive model, too, just because there's a physician who's on the staff full time. There's some benefits, I guess, to that staffing model in that there's a lot of residents that also often are a part of in both nursing and physician residents, and therefore there are benefits. Nothing is free, you know, but there are benefits to the model, maybe you call it in kind, through those residents and nurses. So I guess I can't talk about this particular issue, i.e. sustaining clinics in Orleans, unless I put it in the context, which for us really came about as a result of Katrina. After Katrina, the medical systems were devastated. I think we might have had one hospital operating, or maybe two. All of the doctors had left town. The schools were underwater. It was just pure chaos. And so there was this urgency in terms of trying to get services to our most vulnerable individuals in town, and students happened to be very vulnerable. Many of them were really living in Orleans because they wanted to be at home without their parents, and many of them were highly traumatized as a result of having lived through that whole cataclysmic event. So the Kellogg Foundation in particular, because they had been investing in school clinics around the country, felt like, well, school-based health centers are a really relevant way to try to address the needs of this group. They provide this integrated care, which includes social services as well as preventive services. The social services are highly valued at a time after a disastrous situation. And also the model compared to other community clinics is small in scale, so maybe this is something we can put in place quickly. Those were the assumptions. Doesn't always work in terms of what you think or how you think it should work. And so we got Kellogg funding, and we developed over time the redevelopment and sustainability program. It started with just redevelopment, and then it evolved into sustainability. And so initially, we just wanted to restore the school clinics that had been lost and kind of get them in service as quickly as possible. We really wanted to expand school clinics around the metro area because kids who had been in Orleans, many were going to school in Jefferson Parish, some in St. Bernard, not many, and the kids in Plaquemines Parish, which had a lot of storm damage, were also in need of these services. And we also wanted to enhance the behavioral health services that were available across the area, but particularly in Orleans. And we wanted to develop a sustainability strategy. So the maps change a lot and often, but just to give you a sense of what we were talking about, by 2009, we actually had progressed quite a bit. We opened school-based clinics in Orleans, and I think there, the river kind of messes things up, and also, so there's the West Bank and the East Bank, but I think that we probably had three or four clinics that were operating and a few that were on the planning table. We were able to work a lot more quickly in Jefferson Parish because the damage wasn't as bad in that parish, number one. Number two, they had a unified school district, so we could work with one person instead of having to go to each of the new charter organizations that were coming up. And because working in Orleans had so many challenges. All of the various architectural firms that were working on the different schools. And so even though there was like one overarching agency, they might have been using six or so architectural firms, and they all had different visions of what a school clinic ought to look like. And so we actually developed some standards, and I think they're in the materials that were presented as handouts that are attached to the overhead. And we did that so we could just say, here, architect, please try to at least meet these guidelines in terms of what it is that you plan for this school. And some of them did and some of them didn't, and it was quite a mixed bag as far as what we ended up with. And so that was 2009. By 2012, we probably had lost at least two of those sites in Orleans Parish, and Jefferson was pretty stable, as a matter of fact. So this opening and closure really made it clear that we had to do more around the whole issue of sustainability, that large amounts of money were being put into this and potentially lost if we didn't figure out how can we move these clinics toward a better financial model. The care was great, We had evidence from our impact analysis that kids were benefiting from the mental and behavioral health care, and more kids were being diagnosed for chronic conditions and all of that. But yet, we were in danger of losing pretty much all of this investment if we didn't come up with a way to figure out how to keep the clinic sustained. And so, I hope this isn't any... So again, this wasn't linear. It was actually, I don't know how to describe it, but it was a little bit of unpredictable, I guess is the best way. But in 2009, we had two part-time sites that were operated by the medical center and a full-time site, which is actually still present. And so that, it's not present in the same form that it was back then, but it's still present. Kind of shuffle the deck a bit. And in 2012, we had one permanent closure, which was very painful. We'd put a lot into renovation and all of that, and then the medical center just said, sorry, you know, this just isn't affordable for us anymore. In 2014, we went from part-time to full-time, which was a good thing. And in 2014, we had two other closures, one of which reopened, thank God. And then, that 2015, those two reopenings, one of them is a clinic that closed in 2014. So it's been, the inconsistencies have presented some difficulties. And so what you often hear in terms of the conversation, oh, those school-based clinics are great, but, you know, it's hard to keep them open, isn't it? You know, or they're very difficult to sustain, isn't that so? And that's been our challenge. So one of the things that, you know, has become obvious, and you all probably know this, but in order for school-based health centers generally to be sustained, that they need to have a large enough school and that at least 900 or so, and it can be a one school plus satellites, that they need to have, that kids need to be enrolled in the clinic, which requires parental participation or parental consent and a process for getting them enrolled. And there needs to be a high utilization enrollment ratio, i.e. just because you enroll, you know, we need to make sure the kids are using it, which requires a lot of social marketing in order for that to happen. The comprehensive physical in most reimbursement environments is one of the better services. It's good for the kids in that there is prevention involved there, but it's also good for the clinic in that they can, it's reimbursed at a higher level. And so just doing acute care, kids coming in for fever or sore throat or because their head hurts, is not as beneficial to everything as the comprehensive physicals. The staff has to care about billing, which you would think that they would care about billing, but for the medical centers in particular, we did not find that after a lot of technical support to be the case. I hope I'm not offending anyone, but in terms of the billing, it seemed that because the school clinic was such a small enterprise compared to the medical center as a whole and all their outpatient clinics, that the whole idea that, hey, we really need to be, you know, beating the bushes and making sure we're fully reimbursed, it just wasn't a big priority for them. They have to be managed well, which we did have that kind of good management in the unified school district, but not in all of these little separate charters. Mm-hmm. And obviously there had to be good relations with the whole school. And just like the clinics were changing management, well, the schools were actually changing management as well in Orleans because of the shifts in toward charter. So some of the charters were failing, and so one year we'd have one administrative group and then another group would come in, and they might not know anything about school clinics, and therefore, you know, the relations weren't always good. I don't want to take my kids out of class to have to go to see the clinic, and the people in the, you know, there's never anyone in the clinic, and therefore the services aren't good quality. There's lots of issues. So strong outreach is really important. So in terms of the sustainability strategy, we were able to receive an extra grant from the General Electric Foundation, and we did a request for proposal. So we asked the clinics to actually make commitments in writing, to sign contracts to say that they would participate in a unique fiscal analysis, that they would look at their efficiencies and set goals for utilization, for billing, for those common metrics that make things work, that they would agree to report to a quarterly dashboard so that they could look at how they were doing, and their school leaders could look at how they were doing, and they could compare their performance to their others. And they would participate in information systems training, or EMRs. We had purchased them EMRs with funds from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, but their actual utilization of that technology was somewhat limited. So we wanted them to participate in making sure that they were, there's a terminology, but they were good users. And so here is 4 years of utilization and enrollment data. So you can see that enrollment, that's the purple, was very high, but utilization was pretty low, and pretty much it stayed there. And so you were saying that people never talk about failures. Well, here you go. We had put a lot of resource into supporting, you know, this, but the utilization was actually still pretty low, even up until last year, you can see. And so unique visits, which is typically acute care, was probably the highest. And those behavioral health visits, which is something that is very important to kids' well-being, was lower. And comprehensive physicals was also lower. And in some cases, as we got later, the popularity of the behavioral health care continued to increase, but the popularity of comprehensive physicals declined. So then the other big metric was billing. How much revenue were they generating from their services? And you can see how in 2010, 2011, over the four clinics, they billed almost $180,000. I can't recall why the big drop in 2011, 2012. It may have been some change in the policy of some sort. And then it rebounded in 2012, 2013, and that's when we really initiated this program around sustainability. So we had a lot to be concerned about in terms of how they were doing as far as the investment. It's probably hard to kind of see this, but when the 2013-14 year, we actually initiated a change in governance from a medical center to a federally qualified health center. The medical center had been operating in this particular environment at half-time services, so immediately the clinic went to full-time. And they were pretty productive because I could see where the numbers just doubled. It wasn't like there was just this huge jump in utilization. But the real deal here is the increase in the income. And if you look at the bottom, the FQHC billed $236,000 in 1 year, and the medical center was on average $28,000, $25,000. So this was pretty dramatic, and we were obviously very excited about it. I'll say in addition to that, there was no sense of quality being lost. The kids really did enjoy the services there. They had good patient satisfaction ratings. I have only a couple of minutes, but I am getting to the end here. And so I guess there was a success at the end of the day. We're now in the process of having two schools that are being operated by this particular FQHC, and one additional school that's being adopted by another. So it took a long time in order for fairly qualified health centers to be interested in operating school-based clinics, but it seems that the floodgates, I hope, are open, and that we will see more sponsorships as we go along. There are quality issues that I have heard, different folks among us in the school-based health center world aren't always supportive of federally qualified health centers. They really are a chronic care model. They tend to serve older clients, but we just haven't seen that to be a big issue so far with the two providers that are involved. It's part of their mission to serve from birth, what they say, cradle to grave. So I think it's just an issue of Also working on user-friendly services for adolescents, clinic hours that are more flexible in terms of the needs of young people. So it's just a matter of kind of polishing up their service if where that's needed. And they are working with us to do some of those things. So there's nothing in terms of lessons learned. I mean, it's just been a long journey. And I'll just say that you have to start where you are and use what you have in order to make it work and do whatever you can do. So thank you very much.